Northwest Botanical Analysis is about a block north of the Burke-Gilman Trail, just down the street from Theo Chocolate, two Thai restaurants, and a cafe that offers a stew featuring beef and bacon over French fries. It would be easy to make a joke about how the lab is ideally situated for people with the munchies. But as founder Alex Prindle shows me around, I notice that Northwest Botanical Analysis doesn't really give off a come merge with the couch vibe. The lab is a low-ceilinged, shoebox-shaped room with a microscope and test tubes on the room-length counter. Marijuana samples waiting for testing are lined up in neatly labeled glass jars. Overall, the place gives off way more of a serious science vibe. And Alex and co-founder Andrew Maris got into the marijuana testing business for a serious reason. They wanted to provide a measure of quality control for medical users who got marijuana from dispensaries. Alex explains there are no limits or regulations when it comes to pesticide use on marijuana plants, and that can be dangerous for medicinal users.
You have kids growing in their basements, and they didn't know what they were doing. They're just trying to make a buck, so they may have sprayed it with something toxic 2 weeks before they gave it to a cancer patient.
What's the benchmark that you're using? What helps you say, okay, this is now something that we're comfortable having sold at a medical dispensary?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, there is no benchmark that has been established nationally or even locally. It's something that we're kind of trying to create ourselves, and now we're working with the Washington State Liquor Control Board to hopefully help them figure out what that benchmark should be.
Yeah, that's something that they're going to have to figure out as they try and regulate a statewide market. Mm-hmm. So what kind of conversations have you been having with the Washington State Liquor Control Board?
It's been limited. They've been down here and we've just kind of walked them through our processes and ideas that we have for quality control. So at that point, they were still researching, I guess, and still just trying to absorb as much information as they could. We have some meetings with them coming up later in the month. I believe they'll have a lot more information. They should be maybe even unveiling the program to us at that point. Not entirely sure. They've been pretty vague about it.
How many growers are you getting samples from at this point? Do you know?
I mean, we have hundreds of...
Hundreds of plants, yeah.
And it seems like most of them are growers. Some of them are, you know, managers or owners of dispensaries, but they're mostly growers. So there are definitely a lot of people growing. It seems to be a growing industry as well.
Good pun. So... what's the advantage of a grower bringing their stuff to you instead of just, I don't know, selling it on the Ave or something?
Yeah. Well, there's several advantages. They can determine how they're performing. They can make tweaks to their own program. I guess they can play with different genetics. They can figure out exactly what is working best. Secondly, at this point in the market, the cooperatives or dispensaries are more likely to take product that has been tested because they want to be able to give their clients that information.
Alex and Andrew don't just test for potential hazards in marijuana. They also test for potency. Producers have traditionally tested their plants for potency on their own, but not in a very scientific way.
Breeders have been testing just by ingesting. And for the most part, people judge the quality of pot by how high it gets you. So they've been really breeding for THC potency.
Here's where we start getting into the science of marijuana. So the marijuana plant contains several unique chemical components. Some of those components are known as cannabinoids. THC is one of several subclasses of cannabinoids found in the marijuana plant. It's the cannabinoid scientists know the most about, and it's the component that's primarily responsible for getting users high. But there are more than 60 other cannabinoids present in marijuana, and they can all affect the experience the user has. Marijuana also produces a range of organic compounds called terpenes. Usually, specific plants produce specific terpenes. For example, pine trees produce terpenes that cause them to smell like pine. But marijuana is special because it can produce a more diverse range of terpenes than most other plants. Alex picks up a sample sealed in a glass jar. He unscrews it so I can smell it.
That smells sort of citrusy and sort of piney, kind of. That's not something I would expect. I mean, I associate the smell of marijuana with the smell of, like, wet towels and college dorms. That's, I just... I would never have expected something to smell sort of citrusy and piney like that. It's lovely.
So that's our terpene service can help growers or breeders select their genetics based on not only potency, the cannabinoid profile as a whole, and additionally the terpenes that are present.
This sounds like this has the potential to be the next coffee or the next microbrew. You're all nodding at me. Am I right about this?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a market. I mean, as cannabis has become legal here, there's a growing market of individuals who may not be heavy users, who may just want something like a glass of wine at the end of the day. People who may enjoy the act of smoking but don't want to, you know, be debilitated. They just want a little, who knows, creativity to take the edge off, a little perhaps pain relief.
Something that's analogous to nursing a beer over the course of
exactly,
a couple hours, something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, exactly. But isn't going to leave you on the floor.
Yeah, I think that...
Alex's business partner, Andrew Maris, has been standing in the lab with us.
I think that is going to also lead to the sort of craft or artisan type of cannabis, because just as people look for new and tasty beers or wines, they will also look for that in cannabis as it becomes more accessible to the public. All of us have smelled the old, you know, like old product has been sitting around too long, or stuff that comes from Mexico and it just smells awful. It's not enjoyable. It's a real kind of utilitarian way to administer THC. Now we have the technology to look at the flavor components and make an educated guess and now enjoy the experience instead of be kind of a slave to just wanting to take the edge off.
Northwest Botanical Analysis is in a great position to benefit from a legalized marijuana market. But Alex and Andrew are concerned about how that market will work. Alex wants to know how the state will regulate pesticide use among growers, for example. And Andrew points out that because marijuana has been illegal for so long, there's a lot we don't know about it.
Usually when the feds release, they have certain standards for all drugs, and they do a lot of research and clinical trials, and it seems like we've kind of just skipped over that step. And then the local universities, and even in the national level, a lot of their research projects have been shut down by the federal government. So although we have a pretty good understanding for what cannabis does to you, we still don't have a lot of in-depth university studies. We don't have a lot of long-term studies. It's just so new, and there's not as much information accessible to the public that it is a little concerning to make sure. I mean, you want to educate the public, and with so little information out there available to the public, it's kind of a daunting task, you know. So that's the scariest part for me is, you know, there's just so many question marks.
From just north of the Ship Canal in Fremont, I'm Jeannie Yandel, KUOW News.